Good morning, and welcome once again to Studies in the Gospels here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, your host for this program, where each week we look at the life of Christ as found in the Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And at this time, we're in a part of our study that we're calling a year of development in Jerusalem. And today we are going to be in Luke chapter 11. And we're going to look, as we move into chapter 11 of Luke, the first 13 verses today, and Jesus' teaching on prayer. Now, what makes a great prayer? It is to be heartfelt and sincere. It would be from one that is living close to God. So what greater example do we have of a great prayer life than that of Jesus himself? Let's consider the prayer life of Jesus. One thing is, Jesus prayed often. Notice, still in Luke here, now let's go back to chapter 5, and let's consider verses 15 and 16. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Jesus prayed often, according to verse 16. Now in chapter 6 and verse 12, it says, Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Jesus prayed all night. Chapter 9, verse 28. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. Chapter 11, verse 1. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Chapter 22, and verse 41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed. He knelt down and prayed. What a blessing it was for those first century disciples to be able to see and to hear Jesus pray. What a blessing for us we have in that the Holy Spirit has given us record of these things through the Word. No human being was ever closer to God than Jesus. This gives us plenty of reason to look at his prayer life. We notice that Jesus was confident in his prayer life. John chapter 11, verses 41 and 42. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Indeed, no man could pray a more heartfelt prayer than Jesus. Look again at Luke 22 and verse 41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed. Let us have the attitude of those early disciples. They heard Jesus pray. and they wanted Jesus to teach them to pray. So, let's look now at how to pray. Here in chapter 11 of Luke, let's begin in verse 1. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Notice the content now of Jesus' prayer. This prayer begins with praise of God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Of course, we know that kingdom that he prayed for to come has come. So he began with praise of God, and then he makes requests. Requests for physical needs and necessities. Give us day by day our daily bread. Jesus makes also requests for spiritual needs. Forgiveness. Contingent on our forgiveness of others. Notice verse 4. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And protection. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Clearly, there are more things that can be prayed for. But these are things that should be prepared for. These are things that should be prayed for. And it contains the essence of what a prayer life should involve. This prayer teaches us that we should recognize God for who He is. First, God is infinitely superior to ourselves. Second, God has purposes and goals to which we are to willingly submit ourselves. Remember, Jesus prayed in the garden in Matthew 26, verse 39, Let this cup pass by me. But he also prayed, Thy will, not mine, be done. We recognize ourselves in total dependence upon Him. We need to ask for the physical and spiritual needs of life. Now the next thing we see is that we should keep praying. Let's pick up in verse 5. And he said to them, Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Thus the parable of the friend at midnight. Now, let's consider the parable of Jesus here. We have the friend to the owner of the house. It seemed to make no difference that he was a friend, for the owner said, "Do not trouble me." He rejected the friend because it was an inconvenient request. It was midnight. But the friend had a legitimate need. In fact, a common need. He said, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him." But the owner of the house refused without hesitating. "The door is now shut, and my children are in bed with me. I cannot rise and give to you." You see, in this case, for the friend, the only thing that mattered was persistence. Verse 8, "I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." Indeed, persistence paid off. Even if God were uncompassionate, unwilling, and dismissive, which he is not, he would answer eventually. Even the unjust judge that we read about in Luke 18 relieved the widow simply to get her off his back. Go with me to chapter 18, and let's notice those first 8 verses. "Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, Get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" This is a lesson for us in persistence in our prayer. Pray always, and do not lose heart. Pray not about worldly desires, but manners of life and spiritual manners, things like the church, family, and so forth. says, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. What should we do? The answer is, keep asking, keep praying, and keep knocking. Now, a third thing that we need to consider is that we are to know the one to whom we are praying. Notice verses 11 to 13. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? If we would have reason to hope for help simply because of persistence, understanding the person of God compounds and multiplies that hope. For consider, who is God? These verses point out that he is the perfect heavenly Father. Earthly fathers do their children good and delight to respond to their request with good gifts. How much more so for our Father God? You know, regardless of what kind of earthly father you had, or whether you had a father at all, as a disciple of Christ, you are the child of the most perfect Father there could ever be. For our Father God is perfect in love. He is perfect in wisdom. He is perfect in power. And because of this, he wants what is best for you. And he knows what is best for you. And he can do what is best for you. So when we consider this, what should our attitude be in approaching him with the request for our physical and spiritual needs? We can come before his throne with boldness. We can come before his throne with confidence. We can come before his throne with joy. And we can come before his throne with hope and expectation. He not only can supply what we cannot live without, he also supplies what we cannot even imagine. Not just daily bread, but the bread of heaven. Not just forgiveness and escape from temptation, but the Holy Spirit. We must consider the first century application was, he would give them the words. In today's world, he has already given us the words. They are there for us, for any situation. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 32 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Consider also Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Who then is teaching us this lesson on prayer? It is Jesus Christ, the Master Teacher. Who is more qualified to teach us about prayer than Jesus Christ? He is the Son of God, and as a man of sorrows, had great need and great reason for prayer. As a result of his experience, he is even more qualified to be our teacher on prayer. Notice Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus was completely tested, and he is sympathetic to our needs. Jesus makes promises on behalf of his Father to his disciples, whose unbelievableness is exceeded only by his own personal trustworthiness. Jesus calls for all men to partake of these promises, not a select few, but all men. Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Perhaps you need to put on Christ for the first time, to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Maybe you've wandered away and you need to come back home. Question is, will you come? And so, Jesus is teaching on prayer. I hope our time together this morning has been beneficial to you. I've certainly been encouraged by your presence. Remember that if we can help you in any way in this walk, we encourage you to contact us at office at tgrn.org, and we'll be happy to get in touch with you. Any need in helping you in that greatest life that one can live, the life of a Christian. Remember, our program will be replayed this evening at 11 p.m. Central Standard Time and posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. If the Lord wills, I'll see you again next week at this same time for Studies in the Gospels on the Gospel Radio Network. So long, and have a great day.